Good morning, everybody. Morning. Good morning. It's lovely to see everybody here today, and lovely if there's any visitors. We're very pleased to see you, and pleased to have Janet here today, all the way from St. Ives. I'm glad Erith wasn't flooded. Oh, wrong St. Ives. So if Janet could come forward now, please, because if you could, for the children's presentation. If you come forward. Carol will pray for you before we... So, no, that's all right.
Let's pray. Creator God, our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you so much that you not only created us, but when you saw us needing a Saviour, you took our place, you died in our place, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a relationship with you, not just for while we're on earth, but for eternity. Lord, we know we'll never be able to thank you enough. And maybe that's one of the reasons you've given us eternity. But we do thank you so, so much. We thank you for all the different things that you do throughout the world to enable people to hear the gospel of your salvation. We thank you for Sierra Leone Mission and for the work that you do through it in Sierra Leone. And we thank you too for Janet, the current president of the mission. We pray, Lord, that you will bless her as you use her to bless us and teach us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Question, how many of us know the Connection Churches? Right? So we as a church are part of the Countess of Huntingdon Connection. We know that, right?
Yeah.
The Countess of Huntingdon Connection also has a Sierra Leone mission. Do we know of that?
Yes.
They do? So Janet is here with us this morning to talk more about Sierra Leone mission and what God is doing in Sierra Leone through the mission work that is happening there. So we would really like to welcome Janet in our midst. She has traveled really far from St. Ives. Oh, come on. When I'm saying far, not the St. Ives, which is nearer to us. St. Ives, the one in Cornwall. So that's really far. So it's always a joy for us, Janet, to have you here and have different people from Connection and to share of what it is. Because it is also knowing that we belong to a larger church family, that we are not here in isolation, we are not here on our own, but we are part of something bigger than we can think and pray for. So over to Janet.
Okay. Greetings, first of all, from the folk in St. Ives, Cornwall, from Zion Church. I've never been this far. What are you, north, south, east?
East.
You're a long way. We very rarely venture out of Cornwall. We just stay down there. I'm going to start off with just talking to the children. I'm just sort of trying to see how many we've got. Okay. Do any of you children know where Sierra Leone is? Do you know what continent it's on? No? Nobody? Ah, go on then. Africa. Which part of Africa? Right. Okay, so there's a world map. And Sierra Leone is on the west coast of Africa. So if you look at the map and look at where it curves around for Africa, it's just on, it's a very little, it's a very small country. What's it like to live as a child in Sierra Leone? What time do you get up in the morning to go to school? 5? 5 o'clock? Wow. Well, in Sierra Leone, you would get up very, very early when it's still dark. And you might live in a shack like this. Or you might live in a bit of a posh house in Sierra Leone. Or you might not have a home. So these children that I'm with here are street children. And there's over 500,000 street children in Sierra Leone. That is incredible. Incredible number. And they live on the streets. They don't have a mum and dad to look after them. Your morning routine. What are these children doing?
Carrying water.
Carrying water. So your first job would be to go and find water. So you might have a river running nearby, or you might be fortunate enough. Oh, that's the rubbish dump. You'd have to go past the rubbish dump. They don't collect rubbish in Sierra Leone. They just dump it. You might be fortunate enough to have a well, but then you'd have to go with your bucket and draw the water out. This is at Bethesda, our children's home, and we're fortunate to have water there. And this is the kitchen. But most people cook out of doors, so you might not have a kitchen. So breakfast. I wonder what you have for breakfast. Perhaps cereal, toast, eggs, bacon. I had the full works this morning. It was very nice. But in Sierra Leone, you probably have rice. And that would be your breakfast, if you are fortunate. That's one of the children at Bethesda eating his breakfast. And then you'd have to go to school. How many of you catch a bus to school? Or have a ride in a car? Most of you. Not in Sierra Leone. You'd have to walk. Excuse me. You'd have to walk about 3 miles to actually get to the school that you wanted to go to. When you get there, you have a prayer time outside the school. So everybody would line up in their classes and you'd have a prayer time. And sometimes there's so many children in our schools that you begin to wonder if you'll ever be seen. Hundreds. We have in our 23 schools over 5,000 children. That's amazing. Inside the classroom, does this look like your classroom? No. What's different about it? What's different about your classroom to this classroom? Any takers?
Doesn't have computers.
Does it? You'd be very fortunate. Thank you, thank you. Sorry? Yeah, yeah, that very broken furniture. Yes, love.
In my class, there's lots of decorations around.
Absolutely, yes. But not in Sierra Leone. This is a division of a class. You might have a couple of hundred children in one classroom, and they divide it by these paper partitions. And these are the toilets. Now, they look quite good until you open the door, and then it's just a hole in the floor. After school, you would have to walk back home for the 3 miles. You'd have to wash your own school clothes, And then sometimes you're allowed to play, or other times you have to work with your mum and dad. Perhaps in the garden, perhaps planting, perhaps chipping away at stones to make them new roads. Would you like this to eat? Snapper fish. They eat a lot of fish in Sierra Leone. But you don't just eat the meat of the fish. You have to eat its eyes. And its bones. And its head. Nothing is left. And I learnt that one day when we went to visit, there were some children outside, and I ate the flesh. I just couldn't eat the rest. And the children came in afterwards and ate what I left. And chicken, you eat the bones of the chicken. Crazy. This was a feast that we went to. We had rice, we had fish, we had pasta. It was very, very nice. But children, you don't eat that much when you're in Sierra Leone. Perhaps a bit later you'll find out a bit more about Sierra Leone, but it's just a taster of what life is like as a child in Sierra Leone.
Thank you very much, Janet. I have noticed when we've seen pictures of the children in Sierra Leone, they always look happy, always, you know, singing and praising, and you know, we've got so much here, but they've got so little, but they appreciate what they've got. Right, Margaret, could you come up and read the short passage of scripture, please? Do you want the microphone?
Good morning, everybody. I hope you got your Bibles and your lap. I'm reading from John 19, to 25, to 27. Nearer the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Martha, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother, and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here's your son." And the disciples, "Here's your mother." From that time, this disciples took it into his home. May the blessing of this wedding.
Thank you, Margaret. As we all know, today is Mothering Sunday, and where we thank God for our mothers and grandparents and carers and that. It's shaming so much. We make a day of it. It should be every day that we should be praising, you know, because of our mothers and that. And I'd like Jenny. Where's Jenny? Oh, there. Yes, sorry. <Do it. laughs> Just to read a, to pray for mothers.
So it's a little prayer for mothers. I might get a bit emotional. I like these things. Anyway, so prayer of a mother. I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. I can teach you things, but I cannot make you learn, as much as I wish I could. I give you directions, but I cannot be there to lead you. I can allow you freedom, but I cannot account for it. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I cannot always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you beautiful inside. I can offer you advice, but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you respect, but I cannot force you to show honour.
I can advise you about friends, but cannot choose them for you. I can advise you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you the facts of life, but I can't build your reputation. I can tell you about drink, but I can't say no for you. I can warn you about drugs, but I can't prevent you from using them. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I can't achieve them for you. I can teach you about kindness, but I can't force you to be gracious. I can warn you about sins, but I cannot make you moral. I can love you as a child, but I cannot place you in God's family. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make Jesus your Lord. And I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life.
We noticed in the reading, which Margaret read, one of the last acts which Jesus did, he was on the cross in agony, was to make sure that his mother would have someone to look after her, and, you know, John would look after her. So he was very close to his mother. I'd just like to say a short prayer before we continue. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers. We remember today their love and care and their ceaseless love for us. May we show them by our gifts, our words and our actions that we love them and care about them too. Father, we thank you for the family of the church. Thank you for those who are true mothers within the Christian family. May they know your blessing and strength as they care for others. Amen. Right, and now Jenny is going to give us the Bible reading. I don't know if you want. That's it.
So the reading today comes from Ephesians 3, verses 6 to 21. God's mysterious plan revealed. It's very exciting. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of the blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honoured. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think, Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
All right, thank you, Jenny. Perhaps Janet would like to come forward now and give us more about what's happening in Sierra Leone and what God is doing there.
When I started to prepare for this morning's presentation, I had a chat with Sat, and he said, can I give an overview of what exactly the Sierra Leone mission does? And so I've gone back to our roots, and I hope you'll sort of bear with me, but I think it's really interesting to look back in time as what God has done in the past, what he's doing now, and what he can accomplish in the future. So I'd like to start off. There's a closer view of West Africa. And as you see, Sierra Leone is a very small part of West Africa. It's a small country. There's a close-up. Whoa. Right, back to that. Okay. So the churches, the connectional churches in Sierra Leone are focused mainly around Freetown. My eyesight's not very good, but I'm hoping you can see Freetown there. Yeah, on the left-hand side. So we've got Waterloo. Can you see the Rockelle River just beside Freetown? That runs along where Mabang is and where lots of our churches are sited. And Magnus's vision is to spread the good news of salvation and to work within more rural areas in Sierra Leone. So there's 8.9 million people in Sierra Leone. Any of the youngsters tell me how many people there are in Great Britain? Any ideas, anyone? It's around about 68 million, around about 68 million. So you can see the sort of size in comparison. The capital city is Freetown, and they mainly speak English. It's a bit like the Cornish. When you get the Cornish excited, they start to gabble, and it's a bit like Creole. So if you listen intently, you can understand. So if I start to gabble, just sort of put your hand up. They were made independent from Great Britain on the 27th of April in 1961, and their currency is the Sierra Leonean leones. I thought these were some fascinating statistics about Sierra Leone. According to the World Food Programme, 82.5% of the people are food insecure. So whereas we would at least have one meal a day, if not three, they're not so sure of their food, meaning that they're lacking reliable access to enough nutritious food. And also in pregnancy, which we've been really concerned about, it's one of the most dangerous places in the world to give birth. One in every 17 women during their pregnancy or children will die, which is huge. And the country lacks adequate medical equipment and healthcare staff, so many women experience delays in receiving life-saving care. And only 2 weeks ago, I had word that a young girl that I taught a few years ago had actually died because her parents had refused to take her to medical facilities and had instead gone to the witch doctor. So we've still got that going on. So how did it all begin? So we all know Selina, don't we? Selina founded the Countess of Huntington Connection right back when there was the evangelical revival. And one of her evangelists was this man called John Morant. And he came from America during or just after the American Revolutionary War, and he was ordained a minister with a connection, and he was sent out to Nova Scotia as a missionary. So when He fought for freedom of the slaves along with George Whitefield. And when the slaves were released from Nova Scotia, they went to Sierra Leone. Now, because John Morant was part of the Countess of Huntington connection, lots of the slaves had attended his church, and so they became connectional people. And so when they went to Sierra Leone, they took the connection with them, and they founded connection churches in Sierra Leone. So that's why we are linked with the people of Sierra Leone, because of the link of the slavery and the slaves being freed. So what's our role in Sierra Leone? Now I say our, and I've put it in red there, because this is our role. It's what the Countess of Huntington churches are responsible for here in England. And there's only 21 churches here. And what God has accomplished through the 21 churches over the past few years has been absolutely amazing. And I think we should hold our heads high and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the work that you are doing in Sierra Leone through us, through you. So it's a corporate thing. It's something that not one church in the connection can do. It has to be a corporate work. So we support 41 pastors. We see them through training at the Evangelical College of Theology. We send out monthly grants that are divided between all the pastors because it's a very poor country, so the churches are unable to support their own pastors. We fund an annual retreat for all the pastors. So at Christmas time, they all get together and spend 2 or 3 days together. And through the Chesant funding, we can send out money so that they receive further training in the ministry. This is the banner at the Evangelical College of Theology. And Chesant is close to you. Are you near to Chesant? Yeah, so the Chesant College here help us to fund this college. And here's a photograph of the faculty outside of the college. We went there on our last visit. We visited the college, and Bethany, who was the pastor at Rosedale, was asked to lead a Bible study. She thought we were going to be leading a Bible study with students, but actually it was the faculty. So she was like, oh my word. But she did very well. Every month on a Saturday, the last Saturday of the month, all of our pastors get together. And the gentleman on the far right here is Magnus Bendu. And we are hoping and praying, please join us in prayer to bring Magnus over in June of this year. So it would be great. And we want him to go to as many connectional churches as we can. And this is a photograph of the annual retreat, which they really enjoy taking part in. When we were out in 2024, Bethany and Simon Allaby, does anybody know Simon? Yeah. They led training sessions on evangelism, on biblical studies. They took Bibles, books from the Bible, and actually spent time unpacking the Bible to these people. And they love certificates in Sierra Leone. So if they ever attend a training session, they've got to have a certificate to prove that they've been there. So we have a church building fund, so we try to support some of the church, the buildings themselves in Sierra Leone. So recently we have, as you can see in the top left-hand corner there, that's Simon outside of Bolney Church. So Bolney Church actually funded the building of this church. Hailsham, they're twinned with Hailsham down below you, down that way. And Kenema, we put on new roof and windows and doors. And Kamakantaki. Kamakantaki was an amazing village. I was taken to visit. What happened was Magnus went to this village, Kamakantaki, and said, "What do you need? What's your, you know, prime need?" And they said, "We haven't got a school." This is a totally Muslim village. And so Magnus said, "Well, if I send you some teachers, they're going to be Christian. Is that okay?" And they said, "Yes, that's fine." So Magnus sent two Christian teachers to Kamakantaki. And they started to their school. And in the evenings, they had Bible studies. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And Magnus had a phone call and said, "Would you come to Kamakantaki? We need you." So he thought, "Oh, no, they're going to be kicked out." So he went to Kamakantaki. And when he got there, they said, "We are so thrilled. We are so thrilled with the two men that you've sent. We're going to build you a church." This is a Muslim village. Build us a church, not a school, a church. So this here, with the red door, is the church that they built. So the school started to take place in the church. And they were growing, and the church was growing. And when I went out in 2023, we went to visit this church. And Magnus said, "Follow me." And we went through this bush and down towards the river. And I witnessed 43 baptisms. 43 baptisms. And I stood on the river's edge. The river was filthy. It was brown. And these people were coming and they were being baptized. And I stood there with tears running down my face saying, "Do it in England. Do it in England," because it was just such a thrill. So Kamakantaki is one of those church plants that has just blossomed. And the building at the back there is the school that they've built. So we actually added the windows and doors and roof. So this is St. Mark's, and they call St. Mark's the cathedral because there's a bell tower. Rochelle's another one of our churches. Mathwa, we actually upgraded that church. We put on roofs and windows and doors. And this is Lady Selina, the oldest church in Sierra Leone of the Connection. But it's had concrete cancer. So we are gradually rebuilding the church as they are actually going there to take part in services. I think you're quite interested in this church. This is at Mabang, which is the village which I think you are sort of talking about adopting. Mabang is just a most beautiful village in the middle of nowhere. And you have to cross the river to get there. And this building is their church, and Magnus actually funded it and built it himself. So no, not only do we support the pastors, but we also support over 100 teachers. So we send out a monthly grant, and that's divided between the teachers. They get less than £5 a month. We just don't have any more money, really, to send out. But they, with that, they can buy a sack of rice, and that's all that it funds for them. And they're just amazing people. So when I was out there in 2024, Magnus arranged for me to have a session with the head teachers. Oh, boy. I'm not a head teacher. I used to teach. I taught for 38 years, but I'm not a head teacher, never ever wanted to be a head teacher. And so I had this four-hour session with the head teachers talking about how they run their school, what could be, they could do to improve it, how we could help them with it. It was the most sobering session I've ever had. They were so somber, so serious, and it was a bit like some of you. it was hard, but do you know, at the end, I thought we're going to play some games because I think we needed to have a bit of fun. So if you could see these head teachers actually playing games against each other, running up and down this room, it was hilarious, absolutely hilarious. And all the barriers came down, and they just thought it was such fun. And I said, well, why don't you do it with your children? You know, let children enjoy being at school. So it was quite an education for me as well. So this is Mabang. I taught there in, 2023, I think. This was the class teacher, the lady at the top and the lady at the bottom. The lady at the top knew it all. She'd taught all her life and she knew it all, and I knew the feeling. And the lady at the bottom, well, she would turn up sometimes. And she would lie down on the bench and go to sleep. So it was like, oh. But I think by the time we finished, I was there for a month. I think we got her on board. And we also shipped out chairs, so they weren't on those broken benches that a lot of our schools have. And I took out quite a lot of educational aids, and they started to use them when we were there. We also decorated the classrooms. So the top left-hand corner, that's the teachers celebrating because they'd never seen painting on the walls like that before. And this is Brahma School. That's the first school I taught in 2019. And the staff at the top there. So gradually we are introducing educational aids into the schoolroom and into the classrooms. And what thrilled me last time was I left the stencils, and when I went back, other teachers had come and used the stencils and put their own take on their own classroom. So it was wonderful to see that they were developing that we had started. This is Food for Water. This is where I taught last. The lady beside me was the classroom teacher. She was called Marion. And she really took on board what we were talking about. Because in Sierra Leone, they learn by rote. So everything is repeated hundreds of times. Over and over again. It's so boring. You would not last 5 minutes in there. It's awful. So we introduced Jolly Phonics. And we did lots of games. And it was a really good time. And she really took it all on board. And the classroom behind her, the village people had built, and then we added the roof and the windows and doors. Oops. So that, yeah, I did some teacher training 1 year when I was out there as well. And we'd shipped out some big books, and the teachers were fighting over who was going to have the big books because we didn't have enough for everybody. Those teachers, I have to take my hat off to them, to teach in a class with just a piece of chalk. It's quite a challenge. Classes of 50 plus. So we also have a school building fund. Now this was Tombo, and Tombo housed 200 children. If I get a bit closer, you can see it was in a terrible state, and that was just the roof part, but the building itself was crumbling. So we put out an appeal. Somebody in St. Ives actually said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, we want to raise some money to rebuild or to build a new Tombo school. And she actually gave me the money. And so we built Tombo School, and as it was being finished, this building collapsed. And you think, wow, we could have had 200 children in there. But God in his mercy hope you're getting a flavour of what God's doing out there, because it's. I think I find it really exciting. Yeah. So we have started a new school at Kabbalah. That again was a very Muslim area. I went to visit once, and as we were coming, we had to walk because it was so rugged, couldn't get the car. As we were coming down towards Kabbalah, there was a whole mass of women, and they started singing and dancing and whooping, and I thought, oh my gosh, are they coming to shoo us out of the village? But it wasn't, it was there, they were coming to welcome us. And they did it all the way up the hill and surrounded us and then took us down into Kabbalah. They're so thrilled at what's happening at Kabbalah. So we've got a new school there, but it's not big enough. So that is another thought. At Brahma, if you look up above, that's the nursery group. And they were meeting in the church. And the government said, no, you're not to meet in the church anymore. It's going to be illegal. So we thought, well, what are we going to do with these children? So between September last year and Christmas, this building here was erected. Somebody donated the money. And I think it's just amazing. That's for the new nursery at Brahma. So that was Kamakantaki School. This is the new secondary section at Mabang, which has just been finished. This is the new school at Tombo and a new school at McKenney. So new projects. There's always something to move on to. So this is St. James Mungiba, and this is the nursery and primary section of that school. It's more like a cowshed. And there are hundreds of children at this school. That's Simon taking assembly outside. So our next project is to raise money to build a proper building for the nursery at St. James Mungiba. We've upgraded classrooms. As I showed you just now, this is one classroom that we went into, and that's it when we finish. So it's trying to sort of inspire them to do it themselves. Why? Does it make a difference, do you think? Well, I want you to look at this young man. This young man I met in 2019. I sat in the lesson. He was totally disinterested. He didn't want to be there. He was fed up. And I'm just going to stare at you. and so that was the classroom I first worked in. And this is him a year later. He just totally took off. He could see the point. He could see that he had new books, that we'd painted the room. And yes, it does make a difference. And Bethesda. Has anybody never heard of Bethesda? Everybody has. Wonderful. So this is the first photograph of the children at Bethesda in 2013. I want you to keep an eye on the young lady on the far right. This is Abby. Magnus found Abby as a child prostitute at the age of 7. And invited her to come along for a meal. She was our first girl at Bethesda. We've only ever had 5 girls. Because as soon as girls hit the street, they're taken. So in 2016, the new Bethesda was built. Again, by a miracle. Somebody came into my home and said, what are you up to, Lower Days? And I said, oh, I'd love to build an orphanage. And he said, I'll sponsor you. He said, I'll give you £1,000 a month. So we saved it up and we built Bethesda. And that's the children when they moved into Bethesda. And the young girl that I pointed out, I'm just trying to find her. She's the lady with the red and white stripe, she's next to her. So in 3 years, that's the difference it made. This is Maria too. She's one of our 10 children at university. Is that amazing? Let that sink in a minute. Street children. No ambition, no future. And she's now qualified. She graduated in December as a nurse. This is Abdul. He actually graduated 2 weeks ago in communication. And these are 7 of our graduates, or our university students, rather. So this is Abby on the far right, the girl from that first photograph. And she's now doing nursing. And these three started in November last year. Adama, and Daniel. It costs about £1,000 a year to keep them at university, and so far we have been able to find people that would sponsor them, but we've got another 3 going in October, and I don't know anybody in here that would like to sponsor a student to go to university. So this was their Christmas treat. They all got together. This is the that's all of them. And that's Abby again. Just wanted to sort of just refresh her memory. She's come such a long way. And then a few years ago, Magnus said the need was to help these mums that were dying through pregnancy. And so we were able to actually fund a health centre. We've not taken it on that we do not send funds for it every month, like everything else, because we just couldn't stretch ourselves that far. But this is the new health centre. It started off with this plot of land, which is actually opposite Bethesda. And the first thing they had to do was to clear 99 palm trees. And as you see, there's a cross at the front of the health centre. The cross is central. If people can't afford to pay for their care, then they do it for free. And they have to build a big wall to keep it secure. And this is from the back. So we've put solar panels on the roof so that it can have electricity. This is the inside. And last year, we actually completed the maternity unit. This is the staff. And they're just so proud of the health centre. The lady in orange is the cleaner. Just so thrilled to be there. The young man in white, with the white shirt, he's our head nurse. We haven't got a doctor, we've just got nurses. And shipments. So these are our first set of quads. And they're from Kabbalah. Quite a miracle in that country to have quads. With their shoe bags. Another group with their shoe bags. It means so much to them because it's the only present they'll have all year. So to receive it at Christmas time is just so special. And Magnus goes around to all of the churches on Christmas Day giving out the shoe bags. I love this photo. And this is inside the nursery, the new nursery at Brahma. And this furniture was sent out from Bolney School, a school in Bolney, that was changing over their furniture. We heard about it, asked if we could have it, so we put it in the shipment. So that was shipped out as well. That's what the container looks like by the time we got everything into it. It's a 40-foot container, so it's huge. Just a sample of the different things that we send out. We send out clothes and books, sanitary towels for the girls, and lots of cosmetics. And all of that was for the health centre. So we have another charity called Meditech, and they go around to all the hospitals and to health centres, and they collect out-of-date equipment or facilities, and then we ship it out to Sierra Leone. Cuddly toys. They love a cuddly toy. We went to one village, and the chief came to meet us, and he was 100 years old. And he rooted through the cuddly toys, and he found a pair of slippers. And the pair of slippers had a rabbit's head on it, with two ears each side. So he went through the village like this, sort of flip. people make dresses and different clothes that we've taken out. And I asked for the reading this morning because this is something that actually sort of summarizes what I've experienced over the past 15 years. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. And that's the Passion translation of the reading that we had from Ephesians this morning. But this is the NIV. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. He can do and has done immeasurably more than we ever imagined. And will continue. Thank you.
I ask this question to a lot of people who come to our church family. If we want to be a part of this journey of the work that God is doing, how can we do that?
Where do I begin? well, first of all, pray. That's really important, pray. What we find very helpful is if people commit just a few pounds a month, so that we know what's going to be able to come in. Our biggest worry, do we worry? I don't, but the treasurer does. each month is whether we're going to meet our commitments that month. Really, it would be great, even, you know, a fiver a month or something, just to contribute towards it. We're looking for people to join our committee. It's quite an exciting journey. People have got some time and some commitment to Sierra Leone, so that as well. But really, pray.
Thank you, Janet. That is so lovely to hear what God is doing. Thank you for sharing with us. But I also want to ask church family, why do you think we do Sundays like this, where we invite different mission groups, organizations to come and share what they're doing? Why do you think? What's the aim?
To meet each other.
Yes, thank you, Margaret. That's lovely. You get 100 points for that and a golden star. Sat here, you have a golden star with me here this morning. There are two ends, I think, my dear church family, I want us to achieve through this morning. One, as it says, empowering the empowerers to stand along and support the work that God is doing, maybe in our country or in different regions. But at the same time, it is also for us as a church family to know and understand and realize that God is at work. And at times where we are, we think, we might end up thinking, oh, really, God, you're not doing much. But God is doing really, really a lot of things. And at times it needs us to take that small step of faith, confidence, and knowing that God would honor my small gift of time, my small gift of helping others, my small gift of just being available for God. So please continue to pray for Sierra Leone Mission and ourselves as well, that we would continue to become a part of His mission. Janet would be here after the church service if you would like to talk more about SLM. She would be here. But we do also have Mission Enablers team. You must have already seen them today. Carol, Jenny and Brian is our Mission Enablers team. You can talk to them more about this and other different mission organizations that we are part of. Thank you.
Could we have the Lord's Prayer up, please? Pardon? You haven't got it. That's fine. Right, I'll pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for today, and we thank you for your wonderful witness for each one of us, Lord. Help us to be a witness for you, Lord. And we do thank you for all the work that is happening in Sierra Leone, Lord. We thank you for their love for you. They have got virtually nothing compared with what we have, Lord, but they want to praise you and sing your praises and show love to others who don't know you. So, Lord, just be with them and be with Janet as she travels home to Cornwall, Lord. Just give her a safe journey. We ask this in your name. Amen.